This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. So where do we begin and what do we discuss this week? It's been unbelievable recently. You know, on one hand, I originally planned this week to talk about the importance of these days, because it's actually the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, which are the most blessed days of the year, and Eid al-Adha is around the corner. But for us in South Africa, it doesn't really feel like Eid's around the corner. It's been really difficult. You know, there's also the fact that the great Mufti Ibrahim Desai passed away yesterday, rahimahullah, just a few weeks after Mufti Taha. So South Africa has lost both its greatest Hanafi and Shafi Muftis within the same period of time from COVID. May Allah assist us in moving forward as a community. But beyond all of that, you know, the biggest issue and what I want to discuss today is, you know, these events that have occurred over the past week that have ravaged our city and, you know, pushed into deeper poverty, affecting the lives of many, many, many people. A question that I've been receiving throughout the week from different segments of the community, questions like, why did Allah allow this to happen? Why didn't Allah stop it? You know, why is this happening to us? So I think it's important to address these questions, because these type of questions affect our aqidah, they affect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the religion itself. And I decided that today's virtual khutbah, and we're doing a virtual khutbah because it's still not really safe to be meeting for Jum'ah, as COVID is really getting worse in South Africa. And so it is safer for us to be in our own homes praying in Jama'ah with our family. And so to make up for that, I am just doing this from home instead. Inshallah, soon we'll be back in the masjid. But I want to dedicate today's khutbah to two points related to why this happens. And these points are not, you know, as some have pushed it, azab and, you know, we are bad people. And I'm not going to cover that angle. I don't really believe that is the correct way to go about this kind of topic. It doesn't really benefit the ummah much when people are constantly pushing the azab angle. There's two points I want to discuss. The first is the nature of this world. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world as a test. And so we will definitely be tested. And the second point is the concept of free will. Right? Because from some of the questions I've been getting, you know, people have been asking, why did Allah stop them from doing this? It really shows that we don't understand the concept of free will and judgment and consequences for our actions in afterlife. If we think Allah is just going to stop people from doing evil, then we haven't studied history really, because history is full of far worse incidents than what we've experienced. So the first half of this discussion will focus on the nature of this world, and the second half, inshallah, we will focus on the nature of free will and why Allah has given humanity free will, and what are the consequences of misusing that free will. To begin, both of these points are taken from Surah Baqarah. And Surah Baqarah is one of the most important surahs in the Quran. I highly recommend that everybody studies the tafsir of Surah Baqarah, and also that we recite the surah often, because the Prophet ﷺ had stated that the devils run away from a home in which Surah Baqarah is recited. You will find in the surah everything. Almost any aspect of Islam that you want to discuss, that you want to study, that you want to talk about, you will find some reference to it in Surah Baqarah. And so both points will be taken from the surah. And the first point, the nature of this worldly life, we take it from the beginning of the second juz of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. The famous verse, you know, a few years back, one of my friends asked me, what is my favorite verse in the Quran? And I quoted this verse, and he asked me why. You know, that verse is scary. And I said, because it's a reminder to us in times of goodness that tests are going to happen. And during times of hardship, it gives us the tools to deal with that hardship. So what is this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Baqarah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we will definitely test you. And, you know, the Arabic year begins with the lam of emphasis and ends with the noon of emphasis. So it means we will definitely, definitely, without a doubt, test you. Test you with what? With some type of fear, with some type of hunger, with loss of lives, with loss of wealth, with loss of fruit, right? Or, you know, some of the Mufassirin say the fruit of your efforts. So give good news to those who have suffered. Those who, when the musibah afflicts them, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." This is my favorite verse in the Quran. Because when things are going well, this verse reminds me that a bad time could come soon. And we need to be ready to deal with it. And when things go wrong, this verse kicks in and I'm reminded, sabr, and say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." When people ask, why do bad things happen to Muslims? You know, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfill the purpose of life, give charity, do all of these good deeds. Why do bad things still happen? Why do they still die of COVID? Why do their businesses still get burnt down? Why do they, you know, get arrested in some other countries? That, you know, Muslims are being arrested. Muslims are being kicked out of their countries. Muslims are being put into concentration camps. You know, we don't really have it as bad as Muslims in those countries. But people ask, why do these things happen? And to righteous Muslims too. And the answer to that is that this world is a test. This is not Jannah. This world is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world to test us. And He states in this verse, five types of tests we will definitely face. We will be tested with fear. And right now we are dealing with fear of the looting and riots and fear of COVID at the same time. We will be tested with hunger. And many, many people in our community are devastated with hunger because of these riots and all of the food resources they have destroyed. We will be tested with loss of lives. We have lost a lot of lives this year through COVID and now through the looting. With loss of wealth. Again, most people you meet have lost some wealth in some form or the other this year because of the various events that we are dealing with. And with loss of the fruit of our efforts. Meaning, you're going to work hard at something and you may see it get burnt to the ground. Which is exactly what many of us have seen during this time. So the question of why does this happen? Allah promised us it's going to happen. This is the nature of this world. We will be tested. Every believer will face events in their life that will be a musibah. And when the musibah comes, there are two things we have to do. Number one is to have sabr. Sabr means we remain firm in worshipping Allah, we remain firm in believing in Allah, we do what is necessary to rectify the situation, and we do not say a single word that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is sabr. So what do we say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what to say. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, to Allah we return. Now many of us think that we only say this when someone dies. But Allah says that we say this whenever a musibah occurs. Any type of musibah. Your business gets burned down, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You cannot purchase milk and bread today, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You've run out of food at home, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This should be the first words on our tongue when a musibah occurs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, those who do this, those who have sabr, those who say this during times of musibah, that Allah has promised them that He is with them and that they will have a great reward. That Allah is with those who have sabr. So this verse and this passage in the Quran is very important. And you know, very often you want to focus only on the verses of, about the nice things, about Jannah, you know, about after hardship comes ease, if you have gratitude, then it will give you more. And we need to focus on that and we need to remind ourselves of that even during times like this. Find things to be grateful for, Allah will give you more. understand after hardship will come ease. But it's equally important to look at the verses reminding us that we will be tested. Like the beginning of Surah An-Kabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that mankind think that they will be left alone upon saying we believe without being tested. No, we will definitely test them like we tested those before them, so we can separate the true believers from the hypocrites. So Allah has promised to test us, and the test has come. And it has come in many forms. We are all being tested with this pandemic. Many of us are being tested with this violence and looting and riots in our neighborhoods. Some of us are being tested, you know, many members of our community are being tested with their businesses being burned to the ground. Many people are being tested with not having any food or any, you know, any groceries for their homes. All of this is a test from Allah. And if we deal with the test in the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one of two things will happen. If we die during these tests, then Jannah inshallah, and martyrdom. And if we live through these tests, then after hardship comes ease. Either way, our religion is rooted in optimism and hope, and we have optimism and hope both ways. We have lost ulama to the pandemic, and we ask Allah to accept it as martyrdom for them. But we also have people amongst us who are still alive. And for those of us who are still here, who are attending these lectures, who are watching these lectures, who are still alive, you know, you may be looking at those who have passed on and wondering, why did Allah take them? They were good people. Allah took them because He wanted to give them the gift of martyrdom. And for us who are still around, we should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Because after hardship comes ease. And every moment spent in sabr will be rewarded beyond our imagination on the Day of Judgment. This brings me to the second half of the topic. And that is, why doesn't Allah stop people from doing bad things? Now, historically, there are a few times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually stopped things like this from happening, right? Where a miracle occurred, a karamat or mu'jiza occurred, where something was physically stopped from happening. The famous story of the wife of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah, and when the king reached out to harm her, and Allah stopped his hand from being able to harm her, right? Or the battle of Badr, when Allah sent the angels to protect the Muslims. But understand that these are miracles and these are exceptions. These are not the norm. What is the norm? The norm is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humanity free will. And Allah will not normally interfere with how we use that free will. Some humans are going to use that free will to do great evil. And Allah is not unmindful of what they do. He gives them time to repent. He gives them time to change. He gives them time to make up for their evil deeds. And if they do not, they will have to face Him on the Day of Judgment, and they will have to make up for what they did in this world. Others will use that free will to do amazing things. Look around us. While all of this chaos is going on, there are masjids in our community that are distributing free milk and bread to everybody. There are Muslims who are patrolling our neighborhoods and guarding our borders from looters. There are people who have stepped up. There are people who are doing amazing good deeds. That is also the result of free will. And this takes me to the passage from Surah Baqarah. At the very beginning, the very first story in the Quran. The very first story in the Quran begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the angels, I am going to create on this earth a representative of me, a khalifa, a representative of Allah's will on earth. Human beings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created a creation that if they live up to their potential, they would represent the will of Allah by submitting to the will of Allah and applying His law. So the angels could not understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would create a creation with free will. And Allah knows best why they knew that creations with free will would do evil. Some say they had observed other creations on earth before us that had done that. Some say they had observed the jinn. Some say they just put two and two together, that if creations have free will, they're going to cause chaos. But the angels asked a very important question. Why would you create something that has the potential to shed blood and cause chaos? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply replied, I know that which you do not know. So what's the point of this story? The point of this passage in the Quran and this story is to remind us that number one, Allah created us with free will. Number two, Allah created us with free will, knowing full well that some humans will abuse that free will to shed blood and cause chaos on earth. Number three, Allah has a deeper plan for humanity that even the angels could not understand. So Allah told the angels, I know that which you do not know. So if the angels cannot understand the deeper plan behind why Allah created us and gave us free will, then we won't understand it either. But we believe that Allah is most wise, and Allah is all-knowing, and Allah is most merciful, and Allah is most loving. And all of those attributes will manifest in our lives and in this creation. And so we live our lives with hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to prove ourselves. Here's the beauty of free will. If we utilize this free will to obey Allah and to be righteous people and to worship Allah and to be the best that we can be, then we will reach a status that is greater than the angels. Because angels worship Allah without any free will. They don't have a choice in the matter. But humans have the potential for great evil and great good. So if you choose to do great good with that free will, then the reward for that is beyond our imagination. So why does Allah not interfere? Because Allah has given us free will. And the consequences for that free will be manifested on the Day of Judgment. We recite it every single day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the king of the Day of Judgment. He is Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the master of the Day of Judgment. There's two ways to recite the verse. He is the king and the master of the Day of Judgment. On that day, no injustice that ever occurred on this earth will go unpassed. It will be sorted out on that day. Anyone who faced injustice in this world will get what they need for justice on that day. And anyone who committed injustice in this world will face the consequences of their deeds on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not letting it go. It is going into the book of sins. And they have been given whatever is left of their lives to repent. And if they do not, then the punishment would come in this world or in the next. But Allah does not interfere, because that would contradict the point of free will. Allah only interferes in very rare situations to show us a miracle. For the bulk of history, humans used their free will for either good or evil, and Allah allowed it to happen. What's happening now is small scale compared to what Muslims of the past had to deal with and what Muslims in other parts of the world are currently dealing with. It is small scale toward what's going on in Palestine. It is small scale compared to what is going on in Syria. It is small scale compared to what is happening in the concentration camps in China. It is nothing compared to what the Mongols did to the Muslim world, what the Crusaders did to the Muslim world, what happened in World War I. What we are facing now is a small test compared to that. For us, it's a big test. Yes, because we are in it now. It's happening now. It's real. It's happening around us. So it's a big test for us. But when we zoom out and we look at it historically, we thank Allah that we did not have to face the Mongols. We thank Allah we did not have to live through World War I. We thank Allah we did not have to live through the plagues of the past, which were far more severe than the pandemic we are facing right now. We thank Allah that we did not have to deal with the swords of the Crusaders. Yes, we are being tested. And the way to deal with the test is through sabr and tawakkul and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in rising up to do good deeds. And I want to end on this point. I answered both questions, right? Why does Allah allow this to happen? I answered it from two angles. Number one, because life is a test. Number two, because Allah has given us free will. Now let's end off with some advice. What can we do? Remember, Allah has placed us on this earth as His Khalifa, as a representation of Allah's will on earth. We must use that in a way that is pleasing to Allah. We must rise to the occasion. If you are able to protect your communities in a way that is within the law, do so. if you are able to provide for others, whether it is milk, bread, petrol, groceries, money, whatever it is, do so. If you are able to help clean the streets, do that. If you are able to help, you know, open up the delivery routes into the area, do that too. Whatever you can. Everyone plays a different role. If you can't do any of this, make dua. Make dua because Allah answers the duas of the oppressed. So on one hand, we have to have sabr. On the other hand, we have to work hard and rise to the occasion. And finally, we must strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything, any musibah that occurs in this world is a blessing if it brings us closer to Allah. It is a blessing if it brings us closer to Allah. So let us use this period of difficulty to reflect on our own lives and our own relationship with the Creator. Let us use it as a time to make tawbah. Let us use it as a time to make istighfar, to start praying our salah, to start getting serious about the deen, to start practicing our religion better. Let us use this time to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us increase in our salah, increase in our Quran, increase in our zikr. Whatever we are doing, if you are out there delivering groceries to those who can't afford it themselves, along the way, make zikr as well. Make istighfar as well. If you are patrolling the borders to keep the looters out, remember Allah, recite Quran and make zikr while doing so. Increase in your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness, and this will bring about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our communities. And by asking Allah to lift both of these musibahs that we are in, the protests that turned into riots and looting, and the pandemic that has gotten worse over the past few months, we ask Allah to end both of these difficulties and to bring about, after this hardship, a lot of ease, to help us to rebuild this community and to make it better than it was before, to grant everyone who is going through hardship right now ease and to provide for them from where they never imagined. We ask Allah that for everyone who has lost their businesses or their jobs during these riots and looting, that Allah replaces it with better than what they lost and better than they can ever imagine. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those who have passed away as shaheed, as martyrs in his path. And to grant all of us who are living through this sabr, tawakkul, strong iman, and all of the resources that we need to get through this. May Allah help us. May Allah grant us ease. And may Allah make us stronger through all of this. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.